persistent prayer, especially the prayer of intercession, as seen in the first reading of today. We are told that God came down to see for himself what was going on in the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. And upon seeing for himself, Abraham knew that God was going to do something, because it was a land where sin abound. And Abraham pleaded with God to say, if you find 50 men or 50 people who are holy, who are righteous, will you still destroy this great city? The Lord said no. Abraham was able to enter into this bargain with God because of his own relationship with God. Last Sunday, Jesus rebuked Martha to say, Martha, Martha, you worry about so many things. What is important is what Mary has chosen, and that was to seek the face of the Lord. Jesus by no means was saying that to be hospitable was something that was bad, but he was just drawing Martha's attention to say, in order for you to be able to be hospitable selflessly, you need to first learn at the feet of the Master. You need to first develop a relationship with God so that when you serve selflessly. And you'll be able to have that communion, a relationship of a daughter-father with God. That was what Abraham had. And so he could speak to God directly to say, please, Daddy, almost. What if we find 45? What if we find 30? What if we find even 20 or 10 people? Will you still destroy these great cities? And the Lord said, no. And unfortunately, God could not find even few numbers to be able to save that city, those cities. And I wonder, in our own generation, if God were to appear today, what will he see in our generation? What will he find me doing? Or what has he heard about me? If God were to come down today, would he find 50 people who are holy enough for him to save the world? Will I be that person who has made effort in order to say, because of me, God will not cleanse a nation in a very difficult way? And so is this a call for us today to reflect on our own journey with God? Because it is very easy to blame the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Their problem was that they were not willing to change. They were not willing to follow God. They gratified their own flesh. The sin of immorality abound. And in his letter to the Galatians, St. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5 that the ways of the flesh lead to death. But the Spirit gives life. And that is what Christ brings to us today in the gospel. When his disciples came to him and said, teach us to pray just as John's disciples. John taught his disciples to pray. And he simply said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father. That was something unheard of. That a human being, sinful, will be able to call a holy God Father. And as you know, that was the reason, one of the reasons why they persecuted him, because because he claimed that God was his father. But that's who he is to us, and that's what Christ has come to show us. That's the revelation of God, that Christ unites us to God, and we are able to say, Abba, Father, like St. Paul said this. We are his children, and he wants to have this relationship with us, where as children we are able to come to him with freedom, with boldness, but with great reverence, to say, though I am a sinner, please, Lord, lead me. He says, which parent among you will give your own children a snake instead of meat, or a scorpion instead of bread, or a stone instead of bread? Would you not give them the best? Yes, we would. Every parent will give the best to their children, obviously. He says to us, why would the Lord not give to the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now, why did Christ deviate or shift from bread to the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is the most precious gift that we can receive. The gift we receive at baptism, which came to us at confirmation. In every sacrament, the Holy Spirit is given to us. We are renewed, we are empowered to be able to go back to the fundamental covenant that we entered into with God at baptism, when we rejected sin, when we rejected Satan, all this work and all these empty promises. When we promise that we will follow God and will live according to his command. Jesus knows that it is not easy to always avoid sin, because by our own nature, we are corrupt. And the only way we can come back to God is through the grace of the Holy Spirit. And obviously, our willingness to walk with the Spirit. No wonder the Gospel of John says, no one can say Jesus is Lord without being led by the Spirit. And so we have to continue to push. Even the story that Jesus gives about a friend who visited another friend at night is to help us to know that we do not give up in this journey. Scripture tells us that we must work out our salvation with fear and with trembling. We continue to resist sin until the day when we wear the crown. So God is saying, don't give up. Keep praying for yourself. Keep having that relationship. And then, we also stand in the gap for others. The book of Ezekiel tells us, who will stand in the gap? Who will be that intercessor? There are so many people who are no longer coming to church. There are those who are going through difficulties and hard time in life, are confused, they're at the crossroad of life. Who will intercede for them? Who will be the Abraham? Who will be this friend? Who will be persistent? There is always the acronym, the PUSH, P-U-S-H. It says, pray until something happens. We keep praying. We keep encouraging each other. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. And God wants to have a relationship with us so that we can become better intercessors in our families, in our workplace, in our church, in our society, like Abraham, so that when the Lord comes again, he will find faith on earth. This is what we do as missionaries of St. Paul. We founded in 1977 in Nigeria, established by the Bishops' Conference after the challenge of St. Paul VI when he visited Kampala as a pope in 1969. He challenged Africa to say, it's high time you become missionaries to yourselves and also And so in 1985, our first priest was ordained. And between 1985 and now, we have over 350 priests working in various parts of the world. We have quite a good number here in the United States. But then we also work in very difficult missions, like in the Caribbean island. We work in 11 African countries where life can really be difficult. But what we're begging today as missionaries is that the church lacked priests. Just last month, in the month of June, we ordained 12 priests. But I promise you that was not even enough. Four were sent to the United States, obviously. We've been blessed in sincerity to have great support from this part of the world in the training of our priests. And this is what we seek your help most in. It's not easy to train a priest. We train for about nine years. For 2 years the formation, 3 years philosophy, 4 years theology. And to train a priest is not cheap. So we beg you to please support us in the training of priests for the Universal Church. Our mission is primary evangelization, where we go to the places where the church has not yet been established, or where the church is new, or where the church, the faith is falling, to revive it. And those are not easy. We beg you, if you can, to please support, maybe with partial sponsorship or a donation to support us, or even a full sponsorship of a priest. A priest never forgets his sponsor. The other appeal is that we also do a lot of humanitarian work where we have our missions, especially places like South Sudan, Malawi, Chad, Central African Republic, where you are faced with poverty. People have no electricity, some have no water, children cannot go to school, rehabilitation, vocational schools, we do all those. Please, if you wish to know much more about us, we have some magazines at the entrances. You may wish to pick one, maybe just to browse through and see what we do. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to inspire us in our journey towards union with God.